Welcome to Shollycast, the podcast all about Lolly and Shota, including Not Safe for Work. Shollycast is hosted by me, Hydro, and Dr. X. Together, we make up Team CyberHex. We're the developers of Insexual Awakening 1 and 2, an adult visual novel game where you play as a Shota protagonist and get into all sorts of wholesome, naughty fun with friends and family. I primarily work on the writing and planning for our games, and Dr. X works on the programming, artwork, and additional writing. If you'd like to play Insexual Awakening 1 or 2, you can download them at our official Barag at barag.net/cyberhex. You can also check out our continued development progress of Insexual Awakening 2 at our Subscribestar, which is subscribestar.adult/cyberhex. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Shollycast. This is Hydro with Dr. X once again, and in this episode, we are joined by Crew.
Hello, people.
The cool thing about Crew having us be with us today for this episode is Crew is our first guest that we have had who actually has played through the entirety of our game in Sexual Awakening, the first game, and he's also been playing the second game as well. And can you just tell us a bit about how you came across in Sexual Awakening? Like, how did you first find out about the game, and when did it happen?
I forget when it happened. No, actually, I remember it was towards the very end. First of all, my English is not quite as good as I wish it was, so bear with me. That's for the audience. So going back on topic, it was almost when you were finishing the game. I believe when I found it on Kelboru. I was looking for some Shota incest, and I found a picture of Nate having sex with Simone. Then I checked the tags. I checked in Sexual Awakening on Google. I found you guys. I played the game, and shortly after you released the last update. So I was kind of late on that.
Gotcha.
Got to play the final game pretty shortly, so it's kind of cool in and of itself.
Pretty much. And let me tell you guys, like, that was freaking awesome, because you guys, the game pretty much checks everything I ever wished in a hentai game, a shoujo game. The characters are cute, proportionally accurate pipi. The penis is small, the shoujo is small, the lolis are small. The adults look like actual adults, not like anime where the mom looks like an older sister. You have a grandma, you have impregnation, you have all the characters in the harem interact with each other, you have a proper harem ending. Like, damn, man, that was awesome.
I'm really glad that you liked it so much.
Hell yeah.
It does tick so many boxes for people and for us, of course, and that's the great thing about working about something that you're passionate about and that you put in a lot of effort in, is that it'll make a lot of other people happy too. Because basically how we handle it is we noticed that a lot of that stuff wasn't present in other games. So you wanted to make a game that has all those boxes ticked.
I mean, that was the main reason why I designed IA in the first place, was I could not find any Western games anyway that had all these different dynamics going on and had like an interesting story where with a build up. That was the other thing too, is there were like no Western Shota games where like the build up was gradual and like led into like the sexy stuff and then finally got into it big time. And then, you know, there was also very few games that had any kind of interaction with other characters and like threesome content and foursome content, and I wanted to have all that stuff. I was being very greedy. I wanted all those different things because I was desperate to see it, and that's how it came to be. And then the community formed after that, and what's cool is how you came in while the game was still in active development, even though it was getting towards the end. You had joined when it was still going on. So at the time, you were probably not even aware that, you know, IA2 would even be a possibility in the future, which the funny thing is Dr. X and I didn't really know that at the time either. Dr. X and I were not thinking about IA2 at the time when IA1 was getting completed.
Yeah, well, of course, we were focusing on finishing IA1, but the other part is, like, we were thinking, like, at the time that, you know, Soap Monster had told us that he wanted to leave the project, is that we were looking for replacement artists or some other kind of artists that we could work with, so we could continue our work doing Straight Shota with Lolly and Milfs. And that's an important point, because sometimes you can find an artist that does Shawl Akon, in other words, Shota and Lolly, but then they won't do Milfs stuff.
Yep.
Or you'll find an artist who does Straight Shota with Milfs, but they don't do Lolly. So
yeah, that's too sad.
We actually could not find an artist to do that. So we were focusing at the time on finishing IA1 and, you know, getting like the pregnancy epilogue and everything like that.
Well, I'm glad you gave it even though you kind of lost your artist, you were able to give it a proper conclusion.
Yes, we had to do that.
Yeah, and thankfully Soap Monster, you know, he was committed to that too. He wanted to make sure that the game had a conclusion, and he was the one who came up with all the alternative, like, hairstyles and things like that towards the end of the game with that nice harem image. That was all Soap Monster who kind of came up with that idea initially. So got to give him a lot of credit for that, for wanting to do that and creating a nice kind of wrapping everything up.
Oh, cool.
Crew is pretty notable, because not only notable for being a guest on our podcast, because not only has he played through all of IA1, he's also done fan art for the games as well.
Yes, I am also the creator of the pregnancy mod epilogue.
Yes.
Yes. Well, do you remember what your very first fan art for IA was?
I don't, actually. I mean, I will have to go to dig. No. I remember it was the edit from the pregnancy epilogue. Sorry, the final epilogue. I dressed everybody in wedding dresses.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Oh, that was so cool.
Yes, I remember that. Yes, and I remember a ton of people really got a kick out of it, and I think it even got like shared like on different like websites and everything at the time.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
I think it did. I want to say like even 4chan like got hold of the image too or something. If I recall correctly. Yep, I remember that though. And I know this seems, for those listening, I know this seems crazy, but back during when IA1 was getting completed, Barag did not exist at all. But Barag was not a thing back then. So in Dr. X and I trying to search for another artist, the reason why it was so difficult was because at the time, there really wasn't any kind of place where those kinds of artists could gather and exist. So you have to like picture like a setup where you don't have Subscribestar, or Subscribestar is very like much in its infancy, and you also don't have Brag, and you don't like have a reliable way to find anyone. But also the fact that Dr. X, what he was talking about was you would often find, you could maybe find like a Shawly Khan artist, but they wouldn't draw MILFs, or you'd find a Straight Shota artist who would draw MILFs but wouldn't draw lollies, and so you couldn't find like the balance of everything.
I think Bragg might have existed back then, because I'm looking at
it must have been super early on
the Bragg, the admin of Bragg's account. And it says 2017 in April was when they joined. But here's the thing, because you don't know if like it was actually like all set up at the time.
Yeah, that's right. You didn't know if it was going to stay.
The point is, we didn't know about that site at all at that time.
No, we didn't.
Damn, I thought it was older.
No, it's pretty recent. Bragg's pretty recent. And it's really only gotten exponentially more popular in the past, like, 2 years or so, I'd say.
If it was big back then, we would have known about it for sure. Because we were we were looking around a bunch of different sites. No, and so like no one was talking about Bragg at the time.
No.
And that's why it's so interesting to see how much it's grown and how well it's known now in the little ancient community, because it's pretty much the go-to site now.
Thank goodness.
I'm really thankful for the site for, you know, giving people a platform.
Oh yeah, big time. And now I'm seeing, you know, tons and tons of different artists from all different, you know, and they draw all different kinds of stuff, and it's great. And it's allowed us to find out about artists who do all the different combinations of different art, which is great, which is awesome to see. Now my question, crew, is how did you first get into Lolly and Shota? Like, how did you first like get intrigued by like straight Shota stuff or Lolly stuff, or the MILFs, you know, with that dynamic of straight Shota?
Well, to begin with, it's not like I was looking for, you know, regular porn, and then I discovered hentai, and then I dig deeper into the Shota Lolly. No, I went head on, because when I was a kid, like I'm assuming everybody has seen porn at least when they were like teenagers, right? So my first exposure when I was in high school, and when I was started looking at anime, you see how in many anime you have like what's the word I'm looking for, like very seductive looking women. I will actually go to an internet cafe when I'm being a little dumb like I was, and just Google whatever character name naked, because I didn't know the term for hentai or anything. I would, for example, Sakura Kinomoto, Card Captor Sakura, I would look for her, and I will get different pictures. I didn't care if it was a Shota Lolly or whatever. If I like the character, I'm gonna look it up naked.
I feel like a lot of people, especially, you know, us in our various ages, pretty much had that same perspective. It's like, if I like that character, I'll look them up naked or having sex, whether or not they're Shota or Lolly. And we didn't think about the Shota and Lolly aspect that much, honestly. Because I remember I didn't think about it at all myself. Like, it was just like, if I liked the character, that was it. I didn't think about it beyond that.
Yeah, same here. Like, anime looks so cute.
Yeah.
And I don't think I knew what the term hentai was at all for a long time. But before I finally, I think I maybe learned about it when I was in like my, you know, like I probably was like maybe 16 or 17 when I finally realized what it was, like what that term meant. But before that, no.
Did you still see like cartoon porn before that, or was it like simultaneous? So when you found it out about the term.
I know that initially, just because of what my experiences were when I was younger, most of like the cartoon porn I was looking up was mostly Disney stuff or a mixture of like video game characters, like from Dead or Alive 2 or things like that. But I was not looking up anime characters except for like the big popular ones like Pokemon, maybe. Will be another good example.
Sailor Moon?
No, actually Sailor Moon I'd never got into ever.
Oh really?
No. Like anime I got into very late. And I was like maybe, I was probably like either a junior or a senior in my high school when I finally got into things like Ghost in the Shell, the Second Stage Complex or whatever it was, which does have that. Actually, our server has been recently talking about, or actually our server and also Glassfish's server has been talking about like this one scene in that series that has super straight Shota vibes in it. And that I do remember all the way back from when I first saw it when I was like 16 or 17. That scene still sticks out in my mind when the Shota character like asks, what's her name? The main female protagonist about her like android body, and then she offers to have sex with him, and he's just like, no way, I'm not gonna do that.
I think he said like maybe later or something.
Yeah, he's a dummy, but anyway, but yeah, like I didn't learn, I like hentai. I think just I think what it was is I was looking up just porn on different websites, and then I just kept seeing that term pop up on these different websites because they had a mixture of both anime and Disney stuff. And then I was like, so that's what this must mean.
Were you mostly looking up porn of anime characters, or was like a mix?
Yeah, for me, it was mostly anime because they look the cutest. Like, for example, Sailor Moon, I really liked it. I didn't know their ages at the time. Those bodies and how long their legs are, I thought they were like 19 to 20 year old college students. I would look it up naked. I would later find out what hentai was, and I will look that up too. Pokemon 2. I remember that at that point, the latest season was advanced, and I really liked Mei, so I will look her up too.
Yeah, she has a nice design, I think.
Yeah, she has a nice rack.
I do remember that. Like, I think I remember like noticing that she kind of had a bigger bust than Misty.
Yeah, and she's younger.
Oh, she's younger too.
Misty seems to be the oldest, like not by much. That was always my canon. I mean, she's significantly taller than all the girls.
And it's also a good point that you mentioned that like the way the characters are designed, they often look older than they actually are canonically.
Yep. and even in shonen anime, given the context where they fight each other to the death, there's lots of blood and everything. There was an 80s anime, Saint Seiya, when there are all these different guys fighting each other, killing each other. There's tons of there's blood on it, and I found out that the youngest of the main group of characters that was five was only 12 years old. like what the hell? Like, dude is more ripped than me.
Yep, it's anime for you.
Yep, where the main character like has already been through multiple life experiences at the age of 15 already.
Yeah,
if you're like an anime character and you're like in your 20s, you're old already, like an old man or old woman.
No, if you're in your 20s in anime, you're probably already widowed and have like a single child, like 1 year away from retirement.
Yep, that's why you don't see characters in their 30s in anime, or if you do, they're considered like ancient.
They're like the wise old man or wise old woman.
Or the typical woman in anime, like, wouldn't you prefer a younger woman instead of an old lady like me? And she's like super curvy, busty, like wee.
And also like only like 30 years old.
Or like in her late 20s.
Late 20s, yep.
Yeah.
You know, now that I think about it, with the Pokemon characters, I actually only learned about Mei and all the different other characters post, because I only had watched the Pokemon anime from basically, I only watched it a little past Pokemon the movie 2000. So basically Indigo League and then a little bit into whatever would be after that, the Orange Islands, I think, or something. And then I stopped. So I didn't actually know about Mei or any of those other characters except through porn. So like, I remember I learned about Mei by being like, man, who's this sexy or cute girl that has like this red vest and stuff? I have no idea who this is. And then that's how I found out about her character. And that's how I found out most of the other Pokemon characters later on.
So at the time, did you thought that Mei was sexier than Misty?
Well, in my case, definitely yes.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I think Mei's design tends to lend itself to be a bit more sex appeal, a bit more appealing. I know that I enjoyed seeing art of her because she was so different than Misty, which I did like.
Crew, so have you watched a lot of the anime, Pokemon anime?
I watched up to Johto, like the first half, and then I kind of stopped. I watched since episode one. Yeah, and in my case, okay, I should stress out that I'm not originally from the US, I'm from South America. So we actually needed to wait for the dub to come out. I didn't know how things worked. And I at that point, the dub stopped at Bling, I believe. And then everything else was on a foreign channel that I have through cable. So I had to watch the remainder of the Indigo League in English because I couldn't wait for the dub. Then we got the dub, and then I went through the Indigo League, everything. I went through the first few gyms in Johto, but then I kind of started losing interest as I was growing up.
Yeah, it was same for me. I used to watch it, and then it just sort of happened. Like, I can't like give a reason for it other than it just happening naturally.
I will tune into the gym battles, but that's about it.
And no disrespect to the anime, but I maybe like a year ago I tried watching Indigo League again, and I couldn't do too much of it because it was a little too slow for me.
It didn't hold up.
It's not like I'm an adrenaline junkie or something in anime or something, but you kind of notice the how when you're younger you might cut it more slack than you do now as an adult.
I believe it took Ash like 26 episodes to get to the third gym badge or something.
It took him up. Yes, like the pace of that show was snail's pace, but it was because it was meant to sell more Pokemon games and to keep people interested in it. So they would go through the same story beats, like how many fucking times can Team Rocket show up? Pretty much every single episode. and I mean, you get sick of it after a while, and even the characters get sick of it. Like after a certain point, like Ash and Misty and Brock, even they even just interrupt Team Rocket, and they just go like, no, fuck your stupid speech. We've already heard it a gazillion times. Like even when those characters get sick of it, you know it's bad.
It's taken like so many years for Ash to become like champion and like achieve his dream too. It's been quite a while. so now they got new protagonists.
Yeah, she's pretty cute too.
Yeah, I would enjoy seeing part of her.
Yep.
I'm sure there already is.
Like Pokemon has like some of the best waifus ever.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like the character design is great, and there's so many different kinds of characters.
Like lollies, teens, MILFs, even the Shotas. Damn.
Yep. I remember earlier on the IA server, there was like a picture that showed like this path that showed like the choice between like lollies or the Pokemon, and I'm just like, well, yeah. Wait a minute, you need to have like four other paths you can choose. You need to have the MILFs, the teenagers, the young adults, the Shotas. You got like you have just a ton of them, and that they always come out with great designs every single new generation. Even the DLC for the latest game, Scarlet and Violet, has some great new characters. I'm sure they're aware at this point. They have to be after all these years as to how horny people get over these character designs. They have to know, because that was how my memories remained for these characters was not because I was watching the anime. The anime for me was it was totally irrelevant for me at the time when I was growing up, but I kept the porn of the characters and the various Pokemon and stuff, and that's how I kept it fresh in my mind the whole time.
Honestly, the porn is like free advertising, so.
Oh, it totally is.
Yeah.
I hope more game developers or corporations realize that and be softer on the porn stuff, because it's people doing their advertising work for them, so they should factor that in for sure.
It was in fact Pokemon porn what got me into being a fan artist to begin with. I just like the characters. I started drawing many. As a little kid, I drew Pokemon from like a picture book. But as I got older, I started drawing the girls to having sex.
Nice progression.
Yeah.
Your whole journey of becoming an artist, was it just you just wanted to draw just whatever you liked, and then you just started to kind of learn just how to draw sexier characters? Or like how did that progression happen?
I always liked to draw ever since I was a little kid. Like everybody in my family has something that has to do with art. Some are painters, some are musicians. I got into drawing myself because I just liked bringing stuff to life, I guess. My big breakthrough was back in, when was it? Around 2009 or so. I don't know if you guys heard of this game called Legend of Queen Opala.
Yes. Yep.
Okay, there was a fan art contest for the game. And that's when I said, you know what? Screw it. I've been drawing stuff on my own. I need to get into this. I entered the contest and I actually got in top 10 and won a $50 prize.
Oh, that's so cool.
I immediately blew it the next day because I forgot to move my car from a no parking zone and I had to pay a fine.
At least I covered it.
Yeah, so the fine was free, I guess. But yeah, and after that, I decided, I don't know where I've heard this, but I took it to heart. If you have a hobby, invest in it. And that's what I was looking into, like, tablets and whatnot. What I'm using right now to draw is a Wacom tablet that I got from, it's a used one for like $500 or something like that. And man, I'm able to do almost whatever I want with it. Like, including the fan art that I do for the channel, for the IA channel, because my mentality is why tell you when I can just show you? Like what I do in the channel is just stuff that I actually want to see live. I want to create. I like to create. I like my paintings are like my children, and I love making them.
It's awesome.
Yeah,
you feel so passionate about it.
I think all creative people have that same feeling that you got to make something, you got to create, and you feel really passionate about it. And I'm 100% with you on the whole, like, if you have a hobby you really love, you might as well invest in it. Because, like, why not? Because sometimes people will turn their hobby or what they like into something that's actually potentially a career. Or something that they get financial support on, and that's essentially what happened with IA. I mean, I remember with creating IA, I had to upfront, you know, a lot of money to be able to pay for the artwork of IA when it started off. And I was doing that purely just for fun, essentially. Like I went into it not knowing whether people would really like it or if it would get popular or anything. So for me, I was like, you know what? I'm willing to invest all this, my finances into it, as long as it gets made the way that I want. And then if I can spread it out to people and have them play it, then cool. And if it takes off, awesome. If it doesn't, then well, I made something that I was really passionate about.
And it paid off.
It did. Yeah. Yes. Yes, and I'm definitely happy about that.
It also kind of benefited me in some way, because back in during COVID, every establishment was shutting down, including mine. And like, okay, I'm out of a job. I need to do something. So I remember asking you guys for permission to actually do commissions for Insectional Awakening on the channel, and that actually got me out of a tight spot.
Nice.
Oh, it did.
Yeah,
we're happy to help you in that way.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, I think about just how many significant things have happened with other people because of the IA community existing. And I mean, you think about it and it's like, man, there's people who have, like you, crew, who have managed to get commission work for IA, and that got you out of a tough spot financially. And then there's also people who, you know, become, you know, streamers who stream IA and they get more popular, and then more people want to follow them and get more work from it. I mean, it's kind of crazy to think about that. And then I also, like, you know, thought about, like, if I never had created IA, the IA community would not exist, and I would have never have met Dr. X. And it's like you think about all the crazy stuff that happened just by the creation of IA.
Yeah, like I think Hydra has said this for himself as well, but if I had met him, done IA, I don't know where I'd be right now.
Yeah, that's right.
Hopefully I would have been abducted by aliens by now.
Yep.
And crew, what can you tell us about the modding work you've done?
Oh, that one. Yeah, when I was playing the game and I got to the last scene, the epilogue, we had Kira being pregnant, happily pregnant. Pregnancy is like one of my biggest kinks. And I was a little disappointed that only Kira got one scene, that was the only scene for the game. And then you jump to the epilogue picture where everybody's pregnant happily. But then I said, hey, you know what? This is incomplete. I'm gonna make it myself. And that's where that ideology that I mentioned, like why tell you when I can show it to you? And that was actually my first experience with coding and everything. It took me a little bit to try to dig into the game's code. I didn't do a very good job, so what I did was take the original scene and then just add lines of text to it because I couldn't make a new one. I would just stretch it out and fill the gaps with each character being pregnant because I want to see them pregnant, damn it. I want to see Edna having her own child, great-grandchild. Also, because, you know, I also wanted to see the lollies being pregnant, which is also a big kink of mine.
Oh, yeah.
Which is underrated.
Yep. It's good stuff. I mean, that's like a whole segment of people that really like, you know, pregnant lollies and stuff.
So we definitely have people who really like the pregnancy stuff on the IE server and in the IE community.
Yeah, like some people like lollies, some people like MILFs, some people don't like pregnancy, which surprised me, by the way. But yeah, I'm into all of it, and I want to see it all in one package.
Yes.
What's funny about that is, Akru, is there are people who don't like the pregnancy, but they love the impregnation. That one is like they like the visual of the character getting impregnated, but they're not into the actual visual of them being pregnant. And it's like you get this whole mixture of different people who like different stuff, and that's what made IA very interesting, because it was one of the few games I know of in the West, for sure, where it might actually, it's the only one where it merges lolly fans and MILF fans kind of together, because they have all the characters are there, so they're going to inevitably have to like interact with each other, or it may make them curious to find out, well, you know, maybe if you're mostly a lolly fan but you decide you want to find out more about Janet, or you want to find out about Kira, or if you're more of a MILF fan but you really like Julia, or you like you know, Sam, and you decide to go with them, that was always really fun to watch people do that, go outside their comfort zone.
And of course, if they don't want to, then we provide them the option not to do that, so they can just stick with the lollies or just the MILFs or whatever combination they want. And yep. Like even in IE2, some people are just there for the gay option, Tracy, and they don't do anything else.
Yeah.
And well, that's one of the reasons why eventually you want to make sure that everyone has like a way to experience the routes in a platonic way, where they can just focus on whatever, like in terms of sex, they can just focus on whatever character type they like. For example, if I only like the lollies, then they'll have an option to still experience the mom route, but it's just in a, like a friendship or platonic way. So that's another thing that we're going to implement, where you can experience those characters as well without, you know, the sexuality being involved. And this honestly just another example of like all the different stuff we're doing in IA that you don't typically see in other games.
Yeah, like not even in Japanese games.
Yeah, that's right. Usually, you pick a route and like it just focuses on you pick it one route and it focuses on that character, and the other characters are barely in that route. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm glad for all the variety you guys are putting on here, because let me tell you, I'm straight, but damn, Tracy's a cute cinnamon bun.
I'm glad you think that.
Yeah, he's too adorable.
Yes, I really liked designing and writing him and making him. Very sweet character. And yeah, there's definitely people who are straight or don't don't really normally go for the character type, but they'll still enjoy the route. And, you know, they can always do the friendship route if they don't want any, like, sexuality involved either. So this was a really fun character to write.
Yeah, because also the writing for the game is good. Not only the premise, the visuals. Like, when I say visuals, I'm speaking to the first game because you're using Koi for the second game. So that's kind of like edited assets. But other than that, like, the structure, the writing especially, that's really good. Because if I'm going to be forced to read a bunch of text before getting to the actual loot scenes, I want it to be good. I want to be engaged. I want to know about these characters, and you really do a good job at it, like making three-dimensional characters.
Yeah, Hydro and I talk on... Well, we used to do it just through text until we started doing voice chatting, and actually it took a few years for us to start doing that.
Yes,
But, you know, at this point, we go on voice chatting and on Discord and basically talk about what we're planning to do with the routes and stuff, and we make sure to plan ahead of time and, like, talk about the beats we want to hit with the character and, yep, you know, little subplots and stuff. And it's been a lot of fun and very, very valuable to have discussed the stuff, because it really adds so much to the characters and makes them three-dimensional and feel more like real people.
Yeah, that only makes it better when you actually get to the sex thing.
Oh, absolutely, because it just has so much more meaning behind it. And all that, like, build-up, it makes it more satisfying as well.
Yeah, most definitely.
That was one of the things that we wanted to make sure to do, even from IA1, but in IA2, we ramped it up even more, I think, because all of the, like, character building we did, and because IA2's writing is a little deeper and goes more into the lore of the characters and the world as well. And it's been fun to kind of expand that in the second game, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's been, like, adding that layer of complexity to the characters really has made it a lot of fun. And, you know, we like to look at it from the perspective, too, of, like, the player. Like, if we were playing it, like, if we were not the creators of IA2, but we came across it and we were playing it, how happy would we be with, you know, the various characters and their stories and their routes? And I'm confident that I would be extremely happy with playing IA2, and I would really be enjoying it a lot.
Yeah, some porn games there's, like, very little, and, you know, it's okay for it to be like be this way because everyone desires different things. But I've noticed in a lot of porn games there's kind of often very little depth to the character or to the relationship, and especially I would say probably especially in straight shoto games because. Because I've played a few in Japanese, and although those games can be pretty good, I have noticed that it doesn't feel like there's as much depth in the relationship. So that's something that we really wanted to do in the IA games is introduce that kind of complexity and chemistry as well. Because it really adds more to it.
It does, and it kind of goes back to, like, what we were talking about with, like, the Pokemon anime, like. We, like, I think the reason why, like, I would not be able to watch, like, the old Pokemon anime anymore is because I would be so sick and tired of waiting for Misty and Ash or Misty and Ash and May to, like, fuck, because I want to see their relationship develop and it, like, never happens, or like the most you get out of Misty and Ash is just Misty kind of sort of saying in Pokemon the movie 2000 that she does care about him, and then that's it. There's, like, nothing else.
Yeah, it's something basically, like, part of the why we do the kind of work we do in the games is that we have observed that there's not many, very many, you know, good straight shoto romances out there. And stressing the romance is part of this because you've got, like, great porn or great sex, right? Of course. You've got that, and sometimes you'll have a little bit of, like, implied romance in anime or manga, but a lot of the time when that happens, it doesn't really lead anywhere. It doesn't lead to sex ever or proper relationship.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, we all know about, like, some kind of cartoon or anime or manga where there's some kind of hinting that the shoto character likes the girl or vice versa. And I should mention that I'm talking about I'm talking more about like age gap straight shota stuff, because in anime you'll see like the loli shota stuff, like where they end up together and stuff, or in cartoons you'll see that, right?
Yeah,
but like a shota and a woman character, that it I haven't really seen it end up anywhere. Like they'll do teasing and stuff, but like a proper romance, I've not actually seen it.
Like the most you see is like the little elementary school boy having a crush on the teacher for that one episode, and that's it.
Yeah, and that's a great thing about working in IA, is that we get to have the best of both worlds with the romance and the sex, and you know, things leading somewhere satisfying and conclusive as well.
Yeah, like this game actually tried. I actually did try to get into writing because of this game, because like I said, I want to create my own stuff, but that was too hard, and that gave me a new appreciation for your work, because like trying to come up with coherent plots that make sense it was a little it was hard for me, so I'm gonna stick to fan art for now.
Yeah, and that's perfectly fine, and we're happy to have fan artists like you share your work. And it means a lot to us that, you know, like IA means a lot to other people. And like Hydra said before, like the IA server and community has helped people, you know, like different ways, like having a place to belong in a way, because we try to make the server feel very welcoming and to different kinds of people. And that's been something we deliberately done. And it's partly because it's how we feel as people too. And so that's something we want to make sure to do. And, you know, those people who have made new friends through the IA server. Hydra also mentioned all those streamers who have played IA on stream, and then suddenly they have new fans because people from the IA server will go over to support the VTubers, usually loli VTubers who play IA and stuff. So that's been really cool, because it's like, we're helping the people in the IA server, but the people in the IA server are helping other loli and shota creators too, and that's awesome, because Hydra and I really want this sort of thing or network where we're helping each other out.
Yeah, it's a safe haven for loli and shota enthusiasts, because something that I didn't notice until I actually joined your server was how much controversy was with like loli, shota, underage characters and whatever, like their drawings, who cares. And I'm glad to be part of this community when we can just talk like whatever we want, loli, shota, all these different characters without being judged.
Yeah, exactly. We wanted to make sure I think it's even a rule that you can't kick shame each other. So
yep,
like we wanted to be we essentially wanted to be a safe space where people can talk about whatever fetish they have, you know, is we're not hurting each other and we're just having a good old time. And yeah, there has been some great discussions on IA server about Shota or Loli or what our favorite characters are. For example, Shota from Dragon Maid.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
Which is kind of, it's kind of spreading like a virus now. Kind of concerned. but yeah, Shota is a pretty good Shota. And I feel like it's criminal how little hentai there is of him with like Lukua or just in general.
Yeah, I think that Shota is an underrated character, and
he's cute.
And not only would I like to see him with Lukua, but like other, it's kind of in general with straight Shota situations. Because he does have a nice, it's a simple design, but it's a nice design.
Yeah, that's right.
Kind of reminds me of the latest fan art that I did on the channel, where I replaced everybody on the IA epilogue with Dragon Maid characters.
Oh yeah, that was great.
That one's so good. I like, I shared that on the Barag, the Team CyberHex Barag and stuff, because it was so fun. I loved that. I mean, when the next season of Dragon Maid comes out, season 3, man, that's, if there's like any more, well, actually, if Lakoa's sister shows up, that's gonna be really, really funny.
Shota's gonna drown in tits.
Yes, yes, he is. A lucky bastard. I mean, imagine if Shota had like a 3D model made of him, and then he became like the go-to for 3D like anime, like porn animations instead of Hugo.
Dude, you could just really like pour it over from Koikatsu and put his head on the dad's body, which is actually something I intend to do in general sense, is basically take an anime head from Koikatsu or V-Roid or something and put it onto the dad's body, because if people don't know, the dad's body is what you can attach really good genital models to easily, and this is what a bunch of 3D artists do, is that they'll take the head from a video game character or whatever and just put it on the dad's body and add genitals to it. So that's usually what people do,
and then they use Blender for like the animation.
Yes, and I've been getting into Blender. If you want to do animations, Blender is really the way to go, and so that's what I've been studying lately. And I have been doing some practice animations. I just hasn't released anything yet, but that's my end goals: do lots of animations in Blender. So that's really fun stuff, and Blender is free. So anyone wants to get into 3D stuff, Blender is a very good place to start. Because I don't really think you necessarily need the other applications that cost a lot of money, like Maya. You can do plenty of stuff in Blender. It's more than sufficient for 3D animation porn.
Oh yeah, and I've seen a ton of amazing work done in Blender, like for porn, for regular stuff. They've done an amazing amount of work.
It's even used for 2D stuff now.
Yeah, that's right. With the grease pencil.
Oh really?
Yeah, I don't know exactly how it works, and I don't know if anyone has been using it for 2D porn yet, but yeah, you can do 2D stuff in Blender.
Wait, but do you mean like live 2D, like when they animate VTubers models or something?
No, this is actual, like, it's extremely cool, but yes, like you actually do actual like 2D drawings, and you can also do like that pseudo kind of thing that a lot of animes do now, where they make it I mean, now animes have gotten to a point now where even though they might be using 3D models, it looks just like as if it was drawn. So it's like really well done. And that's what it kind of reminds me of.
I might have to look into it.
And then they're going to be coming out with another animation app for the iPad, Procreate, except it's called Procreate Dreams. And that's like really highly anticipated as well for people who like drawing on the iPad and stuff. That's going to be a crazy app too. That looks amazing. That's like specifically catered to people who want to do animations, like 2D animations on the iPad. It's Procreate Dreams, I think is what it's called.
Now, Kuro, aside from the IA characters, is there like a favorite Lolly character that you like?
I like the underrated characters. But two that immediately come to mind is Roll from Mega Man.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That one's so cute. And the other one is a pair of twins. I don't know if you guys heard from the Hyperdimension Neptunia series.
I think I've heard of it.
I've heard of the series. Yes,
it's a JRPG. Has like 99% of the cast is female, so there's tons of fan service. There's two twins called Rom and Ram, which they are like the cutest little things ever, and I love them. Those are like my favorite lollies ever.
What do you like about them?
They're just so adorable, and their hair color is like normal. They're just straight. They don't have any crazy hairstyles or anything. They're more like down to earth. They're small, they're flat, and they wear skimpy swimsuits when they fight.
Nice. Yeah, there definitely is something to like a kind of like a lolly that doesn't have like a super like extravagant appearance or something. It's kind of like a more realistic hairstyle or hair color too.
Oh, and also Kana from Dragon Maid, because she's even smaller. She's chubby. And for my personal taste, those horns that she has look like a cow, like a cow's horn.
Oh yeah, they kind of do.
Yeah, a cow horn. She's thick, like chubby and huggable. She reminds me of an actual cow, and cows are my favorite animal ever. Like so cute, so adorable.
And those horns are pretty useful, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, you can take it from behind with that thick ass he has, and then grab the horns.
Yes.
Yep, handlebars, yep.
Handlebars, perfect.
Great for blowjobs, too.
So then if there ever was, like, a lolly that came out that was, like, a cow-like lolly, like, a humanized, like, cow lolly, that would be, like, amazing for you, crew, if it was really cute and stuff.
Actually, not really. Because, I love hentai girls of every kind, but when, like let's say, for example, you have, like, a really sexy girl, like, with the cow print swimsuit or whatever, my mind goes towards the cow, like the cute little cow on a farm just eating grass. And I lose all my horniness because I'm too focused on the cow. That's how much I love cows.
So there has to be a balance.
Yeah, a balance. Like, if they're going to wear the, they're going to have some sort of cow motif to it, it has to be minimal so I can focus on the girl.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. I love cows.
Well, the cows are pretty cute.
Don't play the cow level in Diablo 2, then. don't play that level.
No, there is no cow level, don't you know?
Oh, yeah, that's right. There is
none. Brings you back. That was a cheat in StarCraft, I think.
Yeah, it keeps the level.
Yeah, yes, that's right. And you can talk to cows in Baldur's Gate 3.
I don't remember what part of the game that was.
It was early on. Early on, you can do it. Although there's multiple parts in the game where you can talk to cows.
Were they ox or cows?
Oh, you know what? It could have been that they were mostly oxes, but I could have sworn you did talk to cows, though, at one point. You do talk to some cows. Now, what about Shota characters, crew? Are there any, like, do you have any favorite, like, Shota characters? Aside from Shota from Dragon Maid?
I was about to mention that one. He's pretty cute. On the top of my mind, not necessarily a favorite one, because I focus more on the loli. But I do appreciate when the Shotas are cute, like, for example, in Pokemon, like the little Poke Kid that has the Pikachu suit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or the youngsters. Basically, if it's cute, I'm into it.
Oh, I totally know what you mean, yeah.
The rule of thumb with Lolly and Shota, like true Lolly Shota designs.
They need to be cute.
Yep.
I'll also say that I think usually the youngsters are actually, a lot of times they're better than the protagonists, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, like, you know, a lot of times people, when they make porn of Pokemon, they'll just use the player characters, but I think a lot of the times the youngster trainer class is better, the NPCs, and I think the my favorite one is definitely the Galar youngster.
Yeah, that one's cute.
It's no surprise then that he's probably one of the most featured NPC Shotas that you'll see in Pokemon porn.
Or Alistair.
Alistair's great too.
Yeah, he's pretty cute too.
And he'll often get shipped with Bea or Hexmaniac.
Yeah, either Bea, Hexmaniac, what's the guy that is the 8th gym leader with the dragons?
I think it was Raihan.
Something like that, the influencer.
Or was it Leon?
No, Leon was a champion.
Oh, okay.
And also Chairman Rose. Like, those are the four characters that come to mind that get paired with Alistair.
Seen some of him with, like, the female player character too, which I like because there's, like, a kind of like an Onei-san aspect to it, because it's usually portrayed as a female player character being kind of either older or, like, more experienced than him, so you kind of have that dynamic too. That's really fun.
Yeah, he's too innocent.
Yeah, he's a great Shota. And I even, like, I found, like, some artists on Pixiv, like, that they have like, I don't know how, at least one of them, like, has made so much Alistair X Bea art, and it's great. I always love it when like there's like I stumble upon an artist on Pixiv or some other website and they're like so dedicated to a particular ship. It's kind of amazing. Like, it's actually like very admirable in a way. But the art was great, and I think people either speculate or maybe there's official material saying Alistair and Bea are siblings, which makes it even better for me.
What?
Oh, nice.
I don't know if it's true, but that's what I've heard.
No, they're not siblings. I mean, it'll be cool if they were.
either way, I think they're a great couple. I mean, usually I'm not like, you know, super into like ships that like involve characters that don't like interact with each other in like the same game or universe, because technically they're not both in the same version of the game. Like Bay is in Pokemon Sword and Alistair is in Pokemon Shield, right? So they don't actually interact in the games, but it's like I can definitely see like such a good dynamic between the two if they were to be in the same game or same universe.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. Now, ironically too, since she's the fighting trainer and he's the ghost trainer, so he should have a bandage over her.
Usually not depicted that way in fan art. Bea's really in the one in control.
Yeah, she's the top.
I mean, this is what makes me so excited for like the next Pokemon series, because, you know, even if somebody doesn't necessarily want to play the next Pokemon game, like they can't deny that you always will anticipate what the new character designs will be, because they usually are always going to be, there's always going to be some amazing design that they'll come out with multiple characters, different Pokemon that will turn into porn, and it's great.
Honestly, like I look forward to the new characters more than I do the new Pokemon. Now, don't get me wrong, I care about the new Pokemon and everything, but like, Pokemon would not be the same without the characters.
Oh, that's very true. It's 100% true. Yes.
Yeah. Especially, I want to see how fast they can make it, because I remember when the Black and White characters got announced, it took like 5 hours to make the first Route 34 of Hilda. Something like that. I want that to be even faster.
Oh, I know for a fact that when the Pokemon DLC for Scarlet Violet was announced, I'm pretty sure artwork of Carmine was created within like an hour and a half, 2 hours. It was fast. It was extremely quick. It's like light speed of light, basically, for artists. Especially if it's like a really popular, if it's a character that really catches on fast. Then if it reaches like the level of like Digital Circus with like the popularity of a character, it'll happen like within like 30 minutes to an hour.
Well, the next part of the DLC is going to have more Carmine and Kieran, so we'll...
And it looks like other new characters too. It looks like it anyway.
Like for example, Cynthia. Like, she's like one of the best Pokemon girls ever. Imagine if she was released in the trailer.
Well, you'd see a lot more Cynthia for it suddenly.
Yes, it would be very fast.
now this is something interesting that Hydro and I have observed, is that, you know, canonically Cynthia and Carmine are on the skinnier side, but when you look at porn, they're like made very busty. That's what I've noticed.
Yeah, very curvy, very busty. Yep.
Well, I don't mind.
Yes, yeah, it can be nice, though. I do think I want to see more art of Carmine where she's a little on the skinnier side, because that's actually, well, at least for me, that's something I noticed about her character, is that she looks pretty lanky compared to a lot of the other characters. Well, I like a bunch of different body types, so I like the busty characters, like the curvy characters, blah blah blah. But you know, Carmine's body type is something I haven't seen that much in the Pokemon games, so it's be nice to see more of art with her body type as it is.
The closest that comes to mind is Lusamine.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's like super skinny, and she doesn't have a lot of boobage, but people always put like a huge rack on her. Honestly, this is one of the few characters where I actually like her with a smaller chest. I don't know. It fits her for some reason.
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah, for some characters it might fit better. Especially for loli characters, I have to say, because
yes,
one famous example is Marnie, which in game, I swear to God, she is flat as a fucking board. There's nothing there, right? But in porn art, she's definitely given something in the chest region, which, you know, is fine. It's like, you know, everyone has different preferences, but it is nice to come across Marnie art where she's flat as a board there, because feels true to the character. There's certainly something very nice about a loli character who is so flat that you can see like the pec muscles on her chest.
Oh, definitely.
So damn good.
Yeah.
like the little Eevee costume girl when she's out of the costume and she's like super flat.
Yes.
You can see her cute little nipples.
Yes, I always liked her. She's super cute.
And that's how the IA2 lollies are. It's they got no boobage, so you see a little bit of pec muscles on their chest, and it just adds so much to the lolly feeling. And you know, of course, don't get me wrong. The lollies with the little bit of chest fat are completely fine. Either because they're chubbier, or maybe they're a little older or something. But you gotta appreciate the super flat lollies as well.
Yeah, you went smaller for this game.
Yeah, we did, and you know, we did want to do that in the first IA, but we didn't get the opportunity to. So that's why I'm thankful that we could do that in the second game.
Yes. Yep. Because originally, I Sam and Julia were supposed to be very, very flat, but Soap Monster wasn't 100% comfortable with depicting that, so he had to give them some chest, which, you know, I still love their designs. I still think they're very well done. It's just an IA2. We wanted to commit to like totally flat as a board kind of designs.
There's actually a mod that like edits the art to make Sam flat, basically.
Yeah.
So that, you know, stuff like that's cool. Hydro and I are thinking of adding official voice acting to IA1 and IA2 at some point, and thankfully we've made a few connections that might make that a reality.
Yes, that'll be extremely exciting if we can pull that off. And just to clarify, it will be voice acting not for every single line in the game, as that would be a massive undertaking. but what we will do is kind of a fun thing where people who've played Persona 5 will know what we're talking about here. But it's like we give, like, if you give characters some voice lines in certain scenes, or like in the beginning of the game, I remember Dr. X and I talked about this, that we would record voice lines in the beginning of IA, so that way you could right off the bat establish in your mind what the characters are sounding like.
Yeah, like when they get introduced.
Yes.
Stuff like that. And ideally something like at least one voice line per scene, and like stuff like moaning. Like a moaning loop during sex scenes would be great.
Or like depending on their reaction during like regular dialogue, they'll say like a, you know, like a certain phrase, or they'll make some kind of like particular like a saying or something like that.
Like little interjections that you'd see in from like Persona when the lines aren't fully voiced, or like Fire Emblem. Fire Emblem does that a lot too, where they'll do a certain interjection or noise that matches the line, but isn't like reading out the line exactly. So stuff like that, I think that adds a lot.
Just those little interjections keep you being like, oh yeah, that's what the character sounds like. That like, it's almost like it reminds you when you haven't heard them talk for a while, like in a cutscene or something. And it's fun. It keeps them in character with their voice is what it is, and it's cool.
The fact that we're still like kind of working on IA1 and keeping it alive, you know, not just us but also the modders, is with all the fan art stuff. It's so awesome to see that people are still interested in it and enjoying it and loving it, and people are streaming it and playing it. So that's awesome stuff. And eventually we're thinking of. It would be great to sell physical merchandise of IA1 as well. You know, stuff like that. And, you know, going above and beyond for a Western Loli and Shota game.
Naked Loli Hawk Pillow?
Who knows, maybe.
I personally wish, like a dream of mine, I doubt it'll ever happen, but who knows, would be to make plushies of the IA characters. I still would love that if that happened. I would still love it.
That would be amazing.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, and let's have it sold at Anime Expo.
Yeah. Did ask J18. Be able to, like, here.
Who knows?
Yeah, you guys sell it.
Yeah, then you buy it, then your parents or significant other sees them, and then, hey, that's cute. Where is that character from? How do I explain?
you know, it'd be cool if, like, you know, the Dr. X, if, like, we created 3D models, because we already kind of have 3D models of the IA-1 characters made in Koikatsu. Be cool to port them over to Daz, on the Daz body or whatever, and then, you know, create, like, in Blender, like, a pretty high quality, like, 3D model, and then we could make, like, you know, those 3D statues or whatever, you know, those 3D printed statues. that'd be cool.
That'd be pretty awesome. Yeah, so we have high hopes for, you know, IA1 and IA2, and just continue working on it and continue growing the community and stuff. So, and people like Crew are an important part of that, so we're very thankful for that.
Thank you, guys.
Now, where can people find you, Crew, if they want to check out your profile and your awesome IA art and art that you've created?
Well, I recently have opened a Barrack account under the same name, Crew, C-R-U. That's where I'm starting to dump all my fan art that I did for the channel.
Nice. That's a nice, simple, easy name to remember on Barrack. That's always huge when you can get a simple username handle on a website.
Yeah, I was thinking of that name came like at random. I needed a name to enter. I forget what forum was it, but like, okay, what random name can I get? Crew. Okay, there we go.
Wow, I'm surprised you were able to get that short of a name. That's good, cool.
I'm surprised too.
So that was great talking to you, Crew, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you and hang out with you. And really great episode that we had a lot of fun talking about different stuff and about Cunny and Shota P50 and everything.
Thank you. Expect a few more fanarts from me in the near future, maybe.
Sweet. And you know, if people want to see with the art that you've already made and the art that you make in the future, they can always follow you on Barrack if you want to see Crew's great artwork and fan art.